Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Outsmarting Infertility Podcast. Diminished ovarian reserve seems to be becoming a more and more common diagnosis that we see in practice. And while there are many reasons to explain that, some of the main reasons that we see commonly are the decision to postpone childbearing into later years as patients prioritize career progress and other priorities and end up postponing their decision to try to conceive at a later time. And diminished ovarian reserve, or a decrease in the amount of follicles seen on ultrasound, we have various parameters and tests that help us to understand what the ovarian reserve may be like for a patient. And commonly used tests for this to help estimate are usually work best when they're combined together rather than using one test or parameter on its own. Some of these tests include a hormone test for something called FSH, a follicle stimulating hormone. FSH is a hormone produced by the pituitary gland, and its main purpose is to stimulate the growth of follicles and stimulate the production of estrogen. In patients, as diminished ovarian reserve, or DOR, becomes worse, we see a steady decrease in the estrogen levels in the body. And on the other hand, we see an increase in the production of FSH from the pituitary gland. And that's a response from the brain trying to basically hit the accelerator, trying to help grow follicles because it's noticing that the estrogen levels are declining in the body. Another important test that's used to help determine ovarian reserve is an ultrasound, a transvaginal ultrasound that helps us to determine the antral follicle count, or the number of large follicles actually visible on the ultrasound. And on average, if we see a follicle count of 10 to 12, this is usually considered sufficient. If it starts to drop below that number, we can start to see early signs of diminished ovarian reserve. So if a patient starts to have an antral follicle count of under 10, we're thinking the diminished ovarian reserve may be something that's affecting the fertility of the patient, their chances of conception. So we always usually pair these tests together, the estrogen, the FSH test, and patients will often have an ultrasound done with a fertility clinic to help determine the follicle reserve. Another important test is the anti-Müllerian hormone, or AMH, and AMH is a very valuable test. It's one of the more accurate predictors of ovarian reserve. AMH is a hormone produced by follicles, so on the blood test, when we see a decrease in AMH, it's an indicator that there is a decrease in the number of follicles present in the ovaries, and this can be a good diagnostic test to help us determine if ovarian reserve is decreasing at an earlier age. One of the other factors that can affect diminished ovarian reserve or low egg reserve is actually genetics. And sometimes we have patients that suffer from something called POI, which is short for premature ovarian insufficiency. So it's a very early decrease in the ovarian reserve, a very early decrease in the estrogen levels, and an early increase in the FSH levels. And basically we start to see symptoms of perimenopause or menopause at much earlier stages of life than we would expect. Sometimes patients are young as 18, sometimes they're in their 30s. And when it comes to diminished ovarian reserve, sometimes it feels like a very absolute diagnosis where infertility is something that just can't be treated, and patients feel like they're at a loss. And this may, while it's true that diminished ovarian reserve does decrease chances of success and may significantly reduce fertility, it's not something that's always written in stone. And the reason for that is some patients, along with the diminished ovarian reserve, tend to have low egg quality. And I always remind patients, for a healthy pregnancy, it just takes one egg. And sometimes by improving the quality of those eggs, we can actually see patients that end up getting pregnant. And we see that in patients where, even though the egg reserve is very low, they work towards improving the egg quality, the quality of their lifestyle, their diet, and working with fertility clinics to see if any fertility treatments are also beneficial for them, and a reasonable number of them may go on to actually get pregnant. And so egg quality becomes a very big determinant of chances of conception here. So it's not just that the egg reserve is low, but the quality of those follicles may also be low, unfortunately. And that's something that, to a certain degree, is modifiable. A very new systematic review was published recently, and it looked at the use of traditional Chinese medicine for patients that have diminished ovarian reserve. And so they looked at multiple clinical trials, randomized controlled trials, and how they impacted a lot of these parameters for diminished ovarian reserve. And they compared it to patients that used allopathic medication. So we did a comparison of patients that had allopathic medication, traditional Chinese medicine, or they had a combination of both. And a lot of the parameters actually showed very similar trends, whether patients use traditional Chinese medicine or allopathic medicine after 3 months of treatment. Two very important parameters that seem to have improved after the use of traditional Chinese medicine and improved more significantly compared to patients that use just the allopathic medication were a decrease in the FSH levels after 3 months of treatment with traditional Chinese medicine. So we're seeing a decrease in the FSH produced from the pituitary gland. And the second parameter we see that improved significantly was actually the follicle count. So follicle counts for patients after 3 months of treatment trended to be higher compared to patients that use just allopathic medicine. So we're seeing two very important signs here of potentially improved fertility or chances of conception. We're seeing patients that are seeing a decrease in their FSH levels, and we're seeing a potential increase in the number of eggs on the ultrasound. So while we see that these parameters have improved, what they didn't check was how many of those patients actually went on to get pregnant. So we don't know the end result or the long-term parameters here, whether those patients had a higher clinical pregnancy rate or a live birth rate compared to patients that use the hormone medications or the allopathic medication instead. So while we don't understand those end parameters and whether those were actually changed, it is a positive sign that we're seeing an increase in the follicle count potentially for patients after using traditional Chinese medicine for 3 months. And so this can be an important adjunctive therapy to look at for patients, especially because one of the main things this systematic review also found was that when allopathic medicine and traditional Chinese medicine were combined, there was a higher potential for improved outcomes in some patients as well. And so it's important to speak with a licensed healthcare provider to see if traditional Chinese medicine can be used from an evidence-based perspective to help support the follicle count or help improve some of these hormone parameters that we discussed. And with diminished ovarian reserve, while this isn't everything, you know, just decreasing the FSH and improving the follicle count doesn't guarantee that the pregnancy rates go up, it is a positive sign that we can anticipate for some patients, as if they're going for a fertility treatment like IVF and they have low egg reserve, if we're seeing an increase in the number of follicles before starting the IVF, there's a higher potential of seeing more follicles on retrieval, and potentially, if the quality is good, higher follicles that make it to day 3, day 5 blastocyst stage and maybe of sufficient quality to actually freeze. So this is something that might be a game changer for some patients, and it may be something that might, you know, is important to discuss with a healthcare provider to see if it'd be of benefit for you. And with traditional Chinese medicine, you know, this is something that's been around for centuries, and I think it's really important that we have clinical evidence on it, and we're seeing these reviews and control trials now because it allows us to better understand how these treatments may work and to what degree they may work and whether they're safe or not to combine. And in this systematic review, they did see patients that were using the allopathic medication, which was mainly estrogen and progesterone hormones to help increase the hormone levels throughout the cycle, and combined with the traditional Chinese medicine treatments as well. So integrative medicine may have a better role for patients with diminished ovarian reserve, where we're looking at alternative evidence-based therapies in combination with allopathic medicine. The information covered in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a replacement for medical consultation or medical advice. Please speak with your licensed healthcare provider prior to making any changes to your treatment plan and/or medications. Thank you.